Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, this is Andrew Gerza of Disability After Dark, the podcast to shine a bright light on sex and disability, and you're listening to Why Are People Into That? With your host, Tina Horn.
Hey, Why Are People Into That fans? Tina Horn here. So, a hell of a lot is going on in March, and I decided to take a break from regular Why Are People Into That episodes. I've been sitting on a bunch of Interrobang mini-episodes that I'm going to release into the wild in your feed this month. That includes the second part of my interview with trans porn star Chelsea Poe, which you're about to hear. And it also includes the second part of my talk with the folks from Aorta Films and a brand new interview with Andrew Gerza of the podcast Disability After Dark. And probably also, if I have time this March, I'm going to put up a conversation that I had with legendary porn star Lorelai Lee about sploshing, which is like messy food play. So that's all coming your way in the next month, and I've totally already recorded April's episode. It's gonna be Why Are People Into Fluids with the amazingly talented writer Jenny Zhang. So never fear, your feed is still gonna be gushing content. So in the meantime, make sure to follow at Tina Horn's Ass on Twitter and Instagram for updates on what I'm up to, and head over to whyarepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to my newsletter, and enjoy the show. I'm Tina Horn, and this is Interrobang. Interrobang is the bonus segment of my Why Are People Into That podcast. Follow at Tina Horn's Ass or at Tina Horn's Ass, if you're nasty, on Twitter and Instagram. Visit whyarepeopleintothat.com. Support my show and get extra shit at patreon.com/TinaHorn. That's patreon.com/TinaHorn. Hello, Chelsea Poe.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm in New York. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I love the city so much. It's always great to be here.
And where do you usually reside?
I'm usually in Oakland for the most part, but I'm always kind of traveling around the country for different work things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what kind of work things bring you to New York?
I'm here for CineKink. I'm shooting some BDSM footage later in the week, and I'm shooting a film with Nika Noel in Transsensual next weekend. So you
work in porn, Chelsea?
Yes.
Cool. You actually are like quite a formidable presence in porn, I would say.
I guess.
How long have you been doing it?
It's gonna be 3 years in April. Sweet. 3 years in April from my first shoot, but I moved to the Bay 2 Decembers ago to do porn full time.
Cool. Yeah. And you've been doing porn full time ever since?
Yes, yeah.
So what do you like about making porn?
I think it's a performance aspect that I can link with my sexuality, and I can link with being creative and performance and everything that's all in one that's really fulfilling, that I didn't get out of other mediums. I used to play in bands and stuff before. I used to be a concert promoter, and I was a really extreme performer when I performed in bands. I have, like, climb on stuff and, like... I was in a black metal band in high school, and we, like, ripped Bibles up on stage and, like, did all the shocking stuff. So, like,
great.
Porn, it's not that big of a jump.
Like, porn is basically, like, ripping up the Bible.
Yeah, that was when I was in high school. So, like, this is where it progressed, and now it's, like, gangbangs and stuff. So, yeah.
Have you done any like blasphemy gangbangs yet?
I haven't done any blasphemy gangbangs. I've done a really blasphemous scene on T-Boys and T-Girls with Put Goodfellow. And
sort of a blasphemous character.
Yeah. And
I mean that of course in a good way.
Yeah, I was a missionary and then he like lured me into his house and made me renounce God when he was fucking me.
I need to see that. That's really great.
Yeah, it's around.
Do you like making high concept porn?
It depends. I mean, if it's a concept I'm really behind, I'm really down for it. I feel like that's what you... I view porn as my art, because it's everything. What I do, it's my job, it's what I creatively do, it's what I think about when I wake up in the morning, it's everything. So it is my art, so if I'm going to do something, it has to be a concept I'm really behind, which cool. I think early in my career, I definitely did take some jobs where I'm looking back and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have took that just creatively, but I feel the longer I'm in it, the more it's about the creative outlet for me.
Yeah, and also being able to look at that and then see how much power you have amassed that you know, like nobody who is any friend of mine would look at that and be like, oh, that person like took that money for a porn that didn't have a very clear artistic statement in it.
Yeah, I think it's more of a personal thing where I look back at my career and I'm like, wow, there's some terms I'm really not okay with. Back at, and just concepts where I was uncomfortable and it just wasn't a good performance. So I think it's more that.
Totally.
But I think everyone has that with their career, no matter what they're doing artistically, where they look back and say, well, maybe that wasn't my best thing. Maybe I should have done something else, but you grow as an artist and you kind of go from there.
Yeah. And you can be proud of how far you've come.
Yeah.
Cool. What are some other great like concepts of porn scenes that you've shot that you've really felt like super proud of?
I really liked, I've shot with Fox House Films a few times.
They're and so
really
great.
Yeah, I've got to do, I did a lot of really extreme films with them. I did a lesbian bukkake scene with Susie Spindrift, and they squirted in my sinus, like, my head was tilted back, so they squirted into my sinuses, like, 30 times, where I was actually at the Trans 100, being honored for trans excellence, but I could taste their cum in my mouth, and that was, like, a different time zone away. So I was in Chicago. We shot that in Brooklyn, and then I did a four straight scene for them, which I always had, I'm really not super into men occasionally. Most of my sexuality is based around BDSM. So it was two lesbian doms forcing me to suck cock, which I was really into. But I didn't bring a change of clothes, though. So I only wore this dress and it was just like covered in everything. It was like, okay.
That's amazing.
So I have stuff to do after this. So, yeah.
Oh my God. I love that. I love all of that. Cool.
Thanks.
So you were saying that you, that your sexuality is, so you, let me, how can I rephrase this? It seems like from what you're saying that a lot of the porn that you make is reflective of your own personal sexuality.
Yes, 100%.
And that's like a part of your brand.
I guess I wouldn't necessarily see it as a brand.
Okay.
Because I feel like when you start seeing yourself as a brand, especially in porn, you kind of lose your reasonings for doing it, and it becomes almost, I need to make this so this type of people will buy it.
That is very wise. You're totally right. I completely take. I'm such a New Yorker. I'm like, so what's your? Oh, this thing about you is part of your personal brand. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a social media strategy for that?
No, I just tweet hi and watch Netflix and. I don't know.
That's the key to your success, probably.
See, I'm gonna be making porn long after all this attention's gone, that people think I'm cool and like my porn, just like I was doing in basements in Michigan when I was 3 years ago when no one gave a fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's just a creative thing for me, and I'm really blessed that all this came with it, but, you know, it's not my end game to create a brand or anything. It's just to make content that I really feel proud of and
awesome,
want to do things. And I feel like once I've been able to tap my sexuality directly into being creative and making art with it, it's really changed a lot because I have a safe place to do all these fantasies that I have that would be really, really difficult or hard to do anywhere else. So I feel like porn has become like a safe space for me to create all these fantasies of my own. And those first experiences are going to be on film, which I can share with my fans. So
awesome. Good for you.
Thanks.
you're a model to us all. So when you talk about your creativity and the things that you're proud of being in your porn, can you give me an example of that?
Being a trans woman who's a BDSM submissive, that's the core of my sexuality. And there's just nothing of that in porn.
Totally.
Trans women are really excluded from submission roles, and the performers that really inspired me were really strong and did really extreme porn, but were really vocal, like Sasha Gray and Stoya and Corinne Trouble and Jisley, who were doing really extreme things but weren't being quiet because they were doing extreme things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the reason why I got into this industry. And obviously, Toby Hillmeyer and Drew DeVoe totally opened a space up where I could exist in queer porn. Mm-hmm. And I think it's definitely just a way for me to express myself in my own sexuality that I don't see anywhere else in porn right now.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just kind of taking a different take on trans porn, because so much about it's fetishizing a trans person's body. Mm. And my body isn't really that big of part of my sexuality. It's more like the actual experiences. Like,
interesting.
Yeah.
So how do you portray that on film?
I just do really fucked up extreme porn, I guess. And
can you give me an example?
Well, I did.
I mean, I've seen it, but can you give my listeners
I mean, I did like a 19-person gangbang for Fucking Mystic. That was like an orgy surrounding it. And then I did the lesbian bukkake scene I talked about. The forced straight scene was pretty intense. Let me think what else. I did a week of slave training with Bella Vendetta earlier this week. It's not out. I mean, earlier last year. It was in July. It's not out yet. But I don't know. I just really love shooting extreme porn, because that's the kind of porn I like to watch. Yeah. And I think it's just kind of a different take on trans porn, because it never really evolved into that genre. So I think I'm just kind of giving something new that maybe hasn't been there or is there and just underrepresented.
So what is there an example of something that you really want to shoot that you haven't had the chance to shoot yet?
I don't know. I just kind of want to keep going further and further with my concepts of BDSM and humiliation and just keep going. I'd like to do more slave training stuff with Bella Vendetta. We shot some really amazing stuff that week, and I really like to do that again. As much as I want to produce all my own content, have it be an art thing, I also do want to push for inclusion of trans people on other sites so we can actually get paying gigs on, you know, normal sites where we aren't in a niche and aren't segregated to the side.
Yeah, absolutely. I am sure that that will happen.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
There's a few companies that stepped up. I was the first Gods girl who was trans about a year ago. And I've been talking to a few BDSM companies who are kind of interested in feeling it out. So hopefully it moves forward. We'll see.
Cool. So tell me more about what you mean when you say that being a BDSM submissive is a huge part of your sexuality.
Okay. Well, so when I like was a kid, or like, you know, 12, 13, I had all these really deep BDSM fantasies. I never knew they were sexual. Mm. I never really felt, I mean, I've dated people when I was young and I had sex with my girlfriend and all this stuff, but like, it just didn't quite click why people thought sex was such a big deal.
Mm.
And like, I was the kind of, I didn't masturbate for the first time until I was 17. Like, just,
that's pretty old.
Yeah. Right. And I just didn't really connect with anything, and I didn't know really BDSM existed. And it was actually through, because I'm from the Midwest, so there's nothing.
Yeah.
So it was through, being exposed to like Lady Gaga, and which is really weird.
Oh my god! I love that.
Kind of first exposure to queerness and BDSM through that.
You heard it here first, people, right?
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing looking back at it, but now it's like, oh wow.
Listen, I mean, for me, it was Tori Amos, so it's like really not that different.
Yeah,
and it's like real. A little embarrassing to look back, but at the same time, it's like, hey man, I like being. not, like, as grown-ups, we can be like, oh god, somebody's just like talking about being a freak. But like, when you are like,
yeah,
12
when I was 18,
when
right?
You're, or I'm 12, like, oh my god. When you're, yeah, a 12-year-old freak and somebody's like, it is okay to be weird, and you're like, thank goodness I can keep getting up. And
yeah, like dykes and latex, and like I was wearing strap-ons just like regularly for like, yeah, a while there. I'm like, damn, this is neat. So I followed Lady Gaga around for a while, like 2 years.
Oh yeah, you
it
were
really
like
intense.
You were like a deadhead, but for like,
yeah,
have, little
I,
monsters,
I have, like,
what they're called, right?
I have Lady, like, this is embarrassing.
Oh, she's doing great, right, Lady Gaga.
See, I got out of her after the Fame Monster. I didn't like anything after that. It was too direct. I didn't like it.
Yeah,
and
I totally understand why.
But yeah, exactly.
But she's like, she seems very happy.
Yeah. I mean, like, she has a really good career trajectory. I mean, she, yeah, seems to have her shit together.
Totally.
Which a lot of artists who are famous at a very young age.
Yeah.
Because she was doing all that stuff at like 22, 23.
It's really young.
Yeah.
I mean, for to be an international,
yeah,
superstar,
exactly,
and to like deal with that kind of, you know,
exactly,
intensity.
But so I discovered, so I started to discover what BDSM was. I saw a documentary on Hulu called Fetishes. I watched it with my roommates, and it kind of terrified me. It was of Pandora's Box in New York.
Oh, yes.
And it's just a really extreme documentary. And I remember a line from it is this guy getting ash into his mouth, and he's like, and someone, and they tried to interview him, and he's like, ashtrays don't talk. And I'm like, I'm not that extreme. But then I also came across MySpace, like BDSM stuff, and like I saw a girl in a cage. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Wait, what was MySpace? Was that
there
just,
was like
groups?
There were groups.
Wow.
Yeah. So I kind of got a femdom when I was like in high school.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I did
like somebody that you met in person.
No,
or?
It was like online. And I would do like awful things on cam, like really fucked up splashing things and stuff. And I was like, wow. I was doing this in, like, my grandparents' basement and shit.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But it wasn't really until I discovered queer porn until I was like, wow, I can be into BDSM and I'm not some weird freak that has to be segregated to the side and be like, you can be a normal person.
Totally.
So it wasn't really until I moved to the Bay until I really started diving into BDSM and... Honestly, porn has been a really great thing for me, but I'm more into, like, giving up power and, like, humiliation and that kind of stuff than actually, like, being attracted to anyone sexually. Like, that's what gets me off.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you identify as asexual?
No. No, because, like, I like sex and all, but, like, in my own head,
yeah,
for me to, like, come, I have to, like, get into that headspace.
Totally.
So, like, even if it's, like, a vanilla sex scene, that's where I'm going in my own head.
More power to you.
Well, it took a while to figure out. And
yeah.
Now it's, like...
Yeah.
It was kind of, like, a combination of porn and real life coming together. And it's just, like, really mentally now.
Yeah.
So, I can get into that headspace super quick now. So, like...
Well, part of what I'm hearing from you is that porn showed you... like a, or gave like a structure and a name to something that was totally innate and had always
totally.
Been there, and so it gave it a name, okay, made you feel validated, okay, but it also gave you the tools to be able to explore it and actually like understand like how to incorporate it into your relationships and into your imagination.
Totally. Yeah. It totally gave a whole different dynamic to it. And I think it was a lot of how I discovered a lot of the queer community was through queer porn because I was so isolated in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So it was like, wow, this can be part of your identity. That's kind of a huge reason why I identify as queer, because BDSM is such a huge part of my sexuality.
I totally relate to that, actually. I mean, in a way, I felt like queer was the first identity that spoke to me, partially because it could incorporate like transgressive desire, which sounds like a pretentious way of putting it, but like that being queer didn't just mean being gay or being bi or being straight now or whatever. Like it meant that, first of all, that things could change, but also being like, well, there's also things that I like that are, that need to be a part of, you know, and even the idea of like having like a queer community and like mm-hmm. having sex in the back of a U-Haul during the Dyke March, right? Like that's like a part of your sexual, it's like incorporates like queer incorporates like being leather, being a pervert, like,
and I feel like it's politics too, and it's like totally. An ethic, and it's a lot of stuff that like all my friends in my little, I grew up in a punk scene and everyone came out as queer essentially because we're all like, we knew something was up and we were all together. Yeah. But it just took time to be like, oh my God, that makes sense.
And yeah. And when you're a teenager, music can be so important for that because you don't quite have the freedom to like explore things sexually as much.
That's all I did. From the time I was like 13 till 18, I was 3 days a week at this local DIY punk venue. Like that's all I did. Yes. Actually into way older than 18 because I was a concert promoter right before I moved to the Bay. So until 22, it's like a good 10 years of my life.
Do you still make music?
I'm actually doing a noise band right now. Sweet. So kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Noise is kind of music.
Exactly. But I'm doing that. But I used to be a concert promoter for about 2-3 years. And that was my first... I couldn't get a job in the Midwest for being trans. So I'm like, well, I'm going to start camming and I'm going to start promoting shows.
Is that how you got started doing sex work, was camming?
Yep.
Cool. How was that?
Camming's camming. It pays the bills.
Yeah.
Like, totally. That's still my vibe on it. Like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, usually it's not very sexually fulfilling. Usually it's kind of boring.
Doesn't sound like... It sounds like you really value also like creative fulfillment and like experimentation and exploration. And a lot of the time camming can be like pretty conventional.
Oh, it totally is. It's like masturbate to the same porn. Like I have like 5 different scenes I masturbate to every day for that. And it's just like, and I have Netflix on in the background. Like just because you're just waiting until someone's like, hey, I'll give you $100 to masturbate. Like that's my day.
I always felt like when I was camming that I felt really torn between thinking of it like, wow, that's so great. I was going to masturbate anyway and I just made a Benjamin. Like, and then on the other hand, like every time I would go to masturbate, I would be like, do I feel like putting on a show while I'm doing this or am I going to like have my me time?
See, I like... Because I'm so in touch with my sexuality now, I come really hard every time. So I don't even have to put on a show, per se.
Mm.
So it's a whole different thing. But it's still every time I masturbate. Because being a trans woman, I can come once a day. So it's every single time I come, I'm like, that's worth $100. Like, for real, though.
Well, yeah, I feel that way when I pee, like, 5 times a day. I'm like, oh, man. Down the drain. So wait, you're saying that you feel like you make money off of every single time you orgasm?
Kind of. I mean, I view it as worth that.
Yeah. Well, it definitely is.
Yeah. This ship is lonely. Lovers
are cold on the phone. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The mood out in the hall ain't fantastic. Air feels static, not dramatic.
What does erotic humiliation mean to you?
It's just like the core of my sexuality. It's so hot to me. I can't even, like summarize it. It's just so deep. And it's just like, I think the core of my sexuality where that's ultimately the headspace I have to go into to get off ever, and the most fulfilling thing.
Totally. And do you what's an example of a way that you would, like, if you were in the mood for like doing some submissive humiliation
all the time
play, aka I was just gonna say, which right? you basically just told me is aka you're horny
every day, like even when I'm not horny, like.
So like what is an example of a way that that could like manifest?
I think like my scene I did with Fox House Films for the lesbian bukkake scene was close. I was tied. I was bound under them, and they were fucking over top of me, and I was getting squirt in my face, and I had, like, slut ran out of my forehead. I don't know. I, like, really, like, dehumanizing, like, being used as a footstool is really hot.
Okay, so objectification.
Yeah, it, like, all kind of ties in, but, like, it can be everything. Like, some forced age play is really hot, I think, because it's, like, a humiliation thing.
Totally.
So, like, everything can kind of go back to humiliation for me on some level.
Totally.
Yeah, so it's kind of, like, I'm trying to think of, it's kind of, like, an everything sexuality, and almost like an everything bagel, because I can make it work.
That's beautiful.
See, I had to tie it back to the weird food
that's,
thing. Yeah.
That is beautiful. And you're in New York, where... This is where the everything bagels were born.
Really?
I mean, I think so.
I would like to see, like,
New York is known for, we're known for our bagels.
Oh, yeah. I still never had a bagel here, weirdly enough.
Oh, yeah. You got to get on that.
Yeah. I've been here, like, for 3 months over the last, like, year and a half.
Got to have a bagel.
Yeah. I need to. But, yeah, my whole sexuality is a submissive. It can apply to so many different things. Where it's, like, I might not necessarily be into that. I'm really not into age play, but if it's, like, a forced role thing.
Oh, interesting.
I'm into it, or, like, I'm not into... Let me think. Yeah, it's just a lot of things where if it's, like, I'm doing it for a dom, I'm getting off on that.
Yeah.
And it's something I totally wouldn't do. It's kind of, what I did with Fox House with, like, the forced rate. See, I'm usually not into men, but if it's, like, a forced BDSM situation, I'm really into it.
Yeah.
So it's, like, kind of doing things outside of yourself.
Yeah, I love that. Well, so, okay, it sounds like, in a way, all of these acts are an act of service towards your dominant, 100%. Right?
Yeah.
So it sounds like part of what you're into is, like, being a footstool so you're useful. Like,
yes.
Sucking cock even though you are not really straight, but doing it because your dominant says so.
Totally. Yep. 100%.
Yeah, that's great. How does it make you feel?
It's just really, I don't know. I just really like it. I'm just like a really intense sub, I think. And the more I made a Tumblr post about this last night. The more I think about my sexuality, the more I'm like, wow, I'm just a really basic submissive. And like, that's just the core of everything. I don't know. It's just like beyond turned on, like beyond everything. It's really like clicking on endorphins, I think, and it's just like immediately even talking about it.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, it sounds like it's a part of your identity.
Totally.
Yeah. So if you were dating someone new and you were explaining to them that this is your sexuality and who you are, and they were like, that's so hot, like, we're really into each other, I totally want to experiment with this with you, but I've actually never done it before, what would be a good place to start?
See, it's a little bit different, because I'm poly. I have girlfriends, and almost that sexuality part is different for them. It has to be a very specific power dynamic with, like, a dom.
Yeah.
For it to be, like, really on that level of humiliation service for me, if that makes sense.
So let me see if I understand. So for you, there is, like, you're polyamorous and you date lots of different people, and, like, those are people that you have, like, a, like, sexual and intimate, like, romantic relationships, and then you also want to have a relationship with somebody who's your dominant.
Yes.
And do those things ever interlap?
Sometimes, but, like, not much. One of my girlfriends is pretty happy with me, so it's a little bit, but still not on the same level. I think it's just different things out of different partners, and I think that's what's really great about being poly.
I agree.
I think with my sexuality being so about that, I can have, like, regular dyke sex and totally get off and all that, but it's still, like, always in the back of my mind when I'm, like, coming or whatever. But it's, like, intimacy for me is like being able to lay in bed with someone and watch Netflix.
Yeah.
And like just like that basic ass stuff.
Yeah.
And like just like going to the grocery store with someone. Yeah. So that's like, I feel like with most of my girlfriends, like that's what I really value more than like hitting the core of my sexuality, I guess. And it's just like kind of different. And I think that's what being poly is about, is finding all these things to make everyone happy and to get different things out of different relationships.
Well, I agree with that completely. And I think that's amazing. And I also think that in particular, when people are kinky, being able to recognize that there may be some things that you're into with a certain kind of person and some things that you're into with a different kind of person, whether that's that person's gender or just like you just want to keep those mm-hmm. relationships separate. So I think that is another thing that makes poly really amazing, because you're able to better communicate that with the people that you're dating. Like, I need to be able to have this other kind of relationship. And then they also get to have relationships that you might not be like the right person for.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like porn has become a thing where I have very specific fantasies that I can make happen.
Yeah.
And it turns into art, and it turns into, you know, films I can sell, and
yeah,
it's really like just being able to tap into your sexuality and creativeness and everything in one thing and mm-hmm. put into a performance it's a lot. I've been doing a lot of that as well. I'm actually doing a humiliation scene tomorrow.
So. What is the scene tomorrow?
It's like a pig thing, and I've never done that before, so I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot.
What's that gonna look like?
I know it's like a pig nose, and
so you're going to wear a pig nose?
Yeah, I think. And then it's going to be like a humiliation splashing thing, and then they're going to tap me.
Cool. So yeah. And can you define, just in case our listeners don't know what splashing is,
It's like food and stuff all over you. And
yeah.
Yeah. I did a lot when I was like 18.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was in my own house. I'm like, I don't want to get stuff messy. So, yeah. So I'm doing that tomorrow, which I'm really excited about.
What does being a pig represent?
I think it's just really humiliating, and like someone putting you in a role, like forced pet play, I think is really hot too. Like that's another example. I'm not into pet play, but like if someone's like, you're going to be my pig, I'm like, that's so hot. Or like whatever else.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense, because pigs are, we see them as filthy animals that are just like rolling around in the mud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like reveling in how disgusting things are. Yeah, that's
terrific. and like, there's a lot of different references in porn that I've really enjoyed where there has been pig stuff. Like, Sasha Grey did a really intense scene with a pig nose on. And I'm like, wow, it's so amazing. When I like first discovered it when I was like 19.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a fantasy and then you lived it in porn that you made, and then did you find that changed your relationship to the fantasy to like fulfill it and make art out of it?
I mean, it's kind of like you did that,
right?
Where I'm like, I can do it again, but like, you know, like I feel like creatively you want to keep going further, and I feel like sexually it's kind of the same thing where you want to explore more, and
yeah, you get to like cross that off the list.
Yeah, and like push your own boundaries and be like, what can I do? Which yeah. There was a lot of things I never thought I could do. Like, I didn't think I could take a decent amount of pain. I did a really intense scene at Folsom where it's like a public humiliation style scene.
Mm.
And I just got my ass kicked by Bella Vendetta. I mean, Edie Alexander. I did slave training with Bella. But yeah, I got my ass kicked, and I never thought I could do that.
Well, how did it make you feel?
It was really deep. It was a really deep subspace. It was like 2 days after where I was still like processing it. It was a lot. It was great. I really enjoyed it, but it was a really extreme scene.
How would you define subspace for somebody who's never experienced
it? I mean, for me, it's the core of my sexuality, I guess. So it's just like, it almost feels like you're on drugs because mm-hmm. you're so out of the situation, but in like a really good way.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Molly a little bit.
Mm. You're like so out of it that you're more into it.
Yeah, yeah, but like not all the bad things that are associated with Molly.
Well, right, it's like maybe not as dehydrating.
Totally, and you don't have like the day after where you're like, I hate everything.
Right. Like sometimes you do, when you go into really deep subspace, like you play as a masochist or as a bottom or as a submissive, and you go into a really intense place. You get pushed in a way that is consensual and satisfying with someone, and sometimes like you don't necessarily have like a serotonin crash the next day, but you can definitely have a like you can have sub drop, yeah. Right? And part of that has to do, you know, which is why like self-care and like aftercare from your dominant mm-hmm. is so important.
Yeah, when I did a week-long slave training with Bella Vendetta, and it was essentially all the time.
Yeah.
And there was definitely a lot of that, like the day or two after, where I was like, oh my god, okay, I'm done with this. Like, yeah, that was a really amazing experience.
She's a badass.
Yeah, they're such an amazing dom. And their like house is beautiful, and it's like in the woods in Massachusetts. Yeah. And it was like such a
Did you go to La Domaine?
No, we did it all in her she has a dungeon above her apartment.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, they had like slave quarters and shit. And oh my god. It was amazing. It was like a really great experience. And like every time we weren't shooting, they had like all these amazing edible things, and it was
yeah. Bella's a very talented cook.
Yeah, it was great. It was really awesome. Yeah, that like worked its way into the film too. So
cool.
Yeah,
cool. What was? Can you talk? I know it's not released yet, but can you talk to me about more? Was that sort of your first time like being in like 24/7 like training?
Yeah, that's my first like formal training, because I've totally had doms before, and we did like, you know, we'd go on a date and they would like make me do whatever, and that was really cool. Like I had this dom, we were both super innocent looking, because we both went, I was 20 and she was 19,
mm-hmm.
and we both wore like floral as fuck dresses, and we'd like go out to lunch, and people would think we were like sisters and stuff, but they would be like, she would make me wear like a butt plug and take it out in the bathroom and give it to her in a napkin and shit. And it was just like, that's the kinkiest stuff in Michigan. And it's like, no one would have ever knew.
Oh my God. That's so sweet.
It's super cute.
Where did you get the ideas to do things like that?
She was just really creative.
Yeah.
But we met on FetLife.
Cool.
Kind of ridiculous, but
I mean, FetLife obviously gave like hope and excitement to you know, young folks in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, I met most of my trans friends via FetLife, even if they weren't kinky.
Yeah,
it's just like kind of what it was in the Midwest.
Totally.
But yeah, that was my first time doing 24/7, where it was like a lot of service stuff. I wasn't allowed on furniture, which was really hot to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a lot of awesome stuff. I really enjoyed it. It was, I would definitely like to do more in the future and build on it. Maybe even do it more like a documentary fashion than
A porn fashion.
Yeah. Or just like doing interviews through an entire week and just putting that together for something on like Vimeo or something.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, it sounds like a reality show.
Something. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great idea. You should totally do that.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah. I thought of it at like 2 a.m. last night. I'm like, oh, I should text them. But I'm like, I'm not going to text them at 2 a.m.
Well, who knows? Who knows who is up? Who's being a vampire when? So I have a question for you.
Yes.
So you were saying that the people that you date romantically are different from the people that you look for to be your dominance.
Yes.
So how do you meet someone to just be your dominant?
I wish I had an answer, because it's really hard. I don't know. I have a daddy right now. And we actually met through doing some scenes together, for work. I don't know. I usually date sex workers anyway, just because that's who I'm around. So
yeah,
it's kind of that
also,
way.
Also, we're the best. So
it's really hard to find doms. Yeah. So
I
wish I had an answer. I wish I could be like, oh, you go here and you meet this person and it's great. Like, but I don't. It's pretty difficult, especially being a trans woman. Like, there's a lot of transphobia in the BDSM community. So,
yeah, what the fuck is up with that?
I don't know.
No, it fucking sucks.
Yep.
Do you think that? So you don't use FetLife to meet people?
I have FetLife still, but I go on it like once a month and I'm like, I don't know.
Do people approach you differently on FetLife and dating apps because of your notoriety?
I think queers might, but like, I don't know. I got the new like Tinder thing for BDSM, which was a mistake.
What is that called?
It's called a Whippler.
Whippler.
It's bad. It was the first like dating site I decided that I'm like, oh, I'll leave it open here to men. And yeah, that was a mistake. Every message I got so far is so fucked up. And they're just like, oh, you're a humiliation sub. Can I just like pee on you? I'm like, it doesn't work that way.
But you were saying you would like that if the right dominant told you to.
See, with pee, I've never actually been peed on before.
Okay.
So
that's a limit for you. That's cool.
No, it's not. It's not. It's I just not haven't a hard done limit. It yet.
Gotcha. So it's a cherry.
See, I think it's hot. I think it'd be hot if someone peed on you as like a marking of property thing.
Right.
Right? That's right. Really hot. But like, I just don't want to be peed on just in general.
Well, that makes sense to me, not to overanalyze you, but like from what you're saying, there are some people. Okay, so there's like two different kinds of golden shower fetishists, right?
Yeah.
Like golden shower subs. There's people who fetishize urine, who are like, you know, the sight, the smell, the taste, like it, you know, the like potency of it is what's hot to them. And then there are people who are hot for piss because it's, yeah, exactly, a sign of marking your property, or yeah, it's like dehumanizing,
exactly,
or it's both. Or it's like or objectifying, like, I'm a toilet,
totally,
that's my job.
Yeah.
And obviously there are some people where there's like overlap in the Venn diagram.
Yeah, I don't have any, like,
but it sounds like you're much 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 more the latter.
Yeah, if I get like pee on my hand, I'm like, that's disgusting. It's my own, like, I'm not,
it's
into
sterile, Chelsea.
But I'm still like, man, everyone's gonna smell this is gonna be disgusting. I don't know, but yeah, it's definitely way more. Everything's very cerebral with my sexuality,
yeah,
which sounds really
sounds
pretentious,
like,
but
not on this show.
Yeah,
this show you gotta be more pretentious than that.
Yeah.
No, I totally I relate. That's so interesting. Do you think that you would ever? Is there just like a really clear? I guess I'm fascinated by this line between like romance and sex and domination, because I know for some people, like,
see,
kink and fetish are just about kink and fetish and not about sex. And for some people, it's like,
I mean, like, I like a dom topping the shit out of me. That's hot as fuck, but because they want to,
right?
More than like I want to get fucked, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's just different. Also having a job where you're sexually so tied up in working,
right?
Where I can only come once a day because being a trans woman, like, you just can't.
Yeah.
So it's like most day I work 5 days a week. So usually, like, unless I'm traveling, I don't have that much sex outside of that and outside of work. So
right,
work has kind of become a de facto place where I can explore this stuff and create art with that moment. And it's been really, when I've been able to put all that together, it's really changed how I view work and porn and being a performer and all that stuff.
Cool. What was I going to say? It sounds like a lot of the scenes that you make do have sex in them, in addition
yeah,
to
do.
The kink.
They do.
Is that just a porn thing?
Or
like a demand thing? Like, would you ever think about making like fetish scenes that don't actually have...
I mean, the training of Poe, there's no actual sex. I blew a corn cob that they made me blow, and then I fucked like a dick on a wall, and I was able to fist myself during that too, which I never did before.
I love your definition of no sex.
No, but like I didn't get fucked by Bella, so no, so there wasn't like formal sex.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, for the most part, I mean, I am on, all the films I produce are released through Trouble Films. So, like, it's kind of a thing through Trouble Films where it's mainly sex-based.
Yeah.
And most BDSM I do watch is pretty sex-based. And one of my favorite sites right now is called Strap-On Squad. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
What is it called?
Strap-On Squad.
No, but I really like the sound
of that.
It's
just like these two really mean doms who just destroy these girls. Like, it makes the kink stuff look really tame.
Are the, the subs are women and the tops are male?
Yeah, it's lesbian porn.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's lesbian porn. And they just destroy these girls. And it's really hot because you're like, most of these girls are really like actually subs. You can totally tell.
Mm.
You're like, wow, this is so hot. But then when it's like not, you're like, aw. Like, but it's really extreme porn, but, like, I can't find any of their contact info, so I think that's, like, a sign from God. I don't want to get too close, because then I'll probably find out, like, something awful about them, so.
Right, yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah, so, it's good. They're far enough away in the porn world. I don't know anyone in their porn. It's great.
Does it make you feel like you are can just, like, relax and enjoy it as erotic entertainment, like as a porn consumer,
yes,
as opposed to thinking like, how do I get booked with these people? Oh, I just fucked that person last week. Like,
yeah, I mean, I can't watch. I was a huge queer porn fan before, but like, I can't watch anymore.
Yeah,
because it's like,
I know how you feel.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't see you and Andre fuck anymore. You know, I totally have that scene on my like computer, and now it's like, I can't watch that. I can't watch Courtney. I can't watch James. I can't watch anyone.
I know,
and it ruins it because there was a lot of porn I really liked.
I'm sorry.
And now I had to get in it, and now people are my friends. It's awful.
No, I know just what you mean, and especially when you look back at things and that have been around for the better part of a decade, and like you were, you know. Anyway, I'm such an old queen about it. I'm like, oh god, I remember when that person was dating that person, or like that's me with my ex, or like that's like blah blah blah. Yeah, and I also was a big fan, and now I mean, sometimes I'll watch it, but it's like watching any other funny video on the internet that your friends made. Like, but I cannot remember the last time that I masturbated queer porn.
Because you can't anymore. It's like,
Think people masturbate to queer porn, by the way?
Oh, I totally did all the time. All the time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, do people just watch this to feel affirmed? Like, is anybody actually masturbating?
Oh my god. I never have a doubt, because I masturbate to that every day during cam shows. I had like 10 different scenes on a flash drive.
What were your favorites?
The Susie Q and Coralie Orta one.
Ugh, the ballerina
oh my
one.
God.
I know.
It's like ballerina incest. It's amazing.
So good. Point shoe sex.
Yeah, it's amazing.
There's a lot of humiliation in
Yeah, there
that
is.
Scene.
I really love that scene. Let me think. What else? I really like the start of your scene with Andre.
Which one?
The one with, like, the gloves and shit.
Oh, yeah,
that's really hot.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. Thank you. That's one of the last scenes I ever shot, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
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 Totally
Andre was my porn wife for a while. Now she's I've, like, set her free to roam the streets of San Francisco. Yeah. Do you, so you like dirty talk?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
No, I just sounded like a creep the way I said that. So, you like dirty talk? Sound like a gonzo porn director.
Yeah. Yeah, I love... That's like probably my favorite way to be humiliated is verbally.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What are some examples of some like degrading dirty words?
Just like talk down to.
Yeah.
And like that's really hot to me. Just like.
Like condescension.
Yeah.
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 Like what's an example?
I don't know. Like with some forced age play, like talking down to like them like they're not an adult. It's really hot to me. And it's just like really condescending and awful. It's like stuff I'd hate in my real life, but.
Well, I can't wait to see your MILF porn.
I can't wait either. I'm really excited about it. I think like 2 more years. I think once I hit 26, I think I'm gonna.
Oy, that's true.
Hoping. Hoping.
Well, Chelsea, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me
on the podcast. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Chelsea. Wait, you can find me at ChelseaPoe.com. On Twitter at ChelseaPoe666. My Instagram is at FakeChelseaPoe. And I think that's about it.
Cool.
So thank you so much.
And where can people buy your porn?
RealQueerPorn.com. You can also find it at Pleasure Chest locations.
Oh, great.
In both the New York location, Chicago, and LA.
Sweet.
Yep.
Great. Well, thanks for being my guest and talking about dirty stuff.
Yeah.
Fill the holes of my mind, the things I'm dreaming of from my station. A vacation, new locations.
Interrobang is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme music is by my brother from another mother, Moot. Thanks for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.